Well, good morning, Terra Nova. My name's Matt. Some of you know me as worship leader, and I have been on staff here for just about 2 weeks full-time. The Lord has been gracious, and he's blessed our family with this opportunity, and just to see the Lord at work in this church, it's a blessing, and each day just to come in and to study his word and to help grow and support and bless this church is just something I could have never imagined that the Lord has provided for my wife and I. And so thank you for all your support and continued support. It's all for the glory of God. Here at Terra Nova, we are all about glorifying him through the things that we say, through the things that we do, and through our lives. So let me just encourage you with those things as we begin today. We've started a new series in 1 Corinthians, and we started a couple weeks ago, and this will be about an eight to nine month timing on this series. We really want to dig in deep to what this letter says, what Paul is teaching the Corinthian people. And I think it's important also to remember that even though we're going to take 9 verses at a time like today, or 3 verses or 4 verses at a time, that this letter would have been written to be read in one sitting. So we would have gathered the church at Corinth like we gather today, and we would have said, hey, we have a new letter from Paul, and we would have read it together. So understand that there's a larger context, and I would encourage you as we go through this series, maybe take a half an hour, I think that's about all it took me, to read the entire book, and that'll really help give some context to this initial encouragement from Paul and how that affects the rest of the letter and the things that he's writing. So today we'll be talking about the first 9 verses, which is Paul's greeting to the church, and it's full of encouragement and a lot of things that we will unpack over the next 25 to 30 minutes or so. So the big idea this morning, pretty open-ended question: who are you? Who are you? We're going to be thinking about that and talking about that today. I wrote this down, and it was a little bit of spoken word here, maybe not. I don't know if I'm that hip, but I'm going to read this, and hopefully you find yourself in one of these people. I am a teacher, a doctor, a bus driver, chef, accountant, pastor, orthodontist. I'm friendly, lonely, extroverted, introverted, driven, depressed. I'm a mom, dad, son, daughter, grandparent, friend. I'm white, black, native, Asian. I'm a city dweller, suburban, country bumpkin. I'm a Republican, a Democrat, progressive, liberal, libertarian. I'm a vegetarian, a junk food junkie, a locavore, a meat lover, bacon addict, health addict, gym addict. I'm a Presbyterian, a Catholic, a Baptist, non-denom, Wesleyan, Lutheran. The list can go on and on. We identify with so many different things, and our world helps us make decisions based on the many ways in which we identify. We classify, we identify. We take personality tests. I've taken mine like 10 times because I think that when I'm taking the test that maybe I should have answered a question a different way, and maybe so that maybe shows my personality, but specifically, I am an ENFP-T, specifically. I think these things are important sometimes to kind of understand who we are and how we tick. But how many times, friends, how many times have we made way too much out of these classifications? Or how many times have we been close-minded because we've already identified with a certain personality type or a certain something that makes you you? Sometimes we write people off because, oh, well, I'm too introverted, or sometimes we're too passionate because, oh, we're just so overzealous and we don't think about what comes out of our mouth. Now, not all of these classifications are bad. Let me remind you that it's okay to find people that you jive with. It's okay to find people that we're compatible with, people that are like-minded. But this can certainly dominate us if we're not careful. This phrase is a little confusing, so listen to it, but I think it speaks volumes. Our identity is not defined by what we do, but who we are. But we try to figure out who we are by the things that we do. So let me say that again. Our identity is not defined by what we do, but who we are. But we spend so much time trying to figure out who we are by the things that we do. So today, as we open up the scriptures and we read from 1 Corinthians, we'll find a church that is a whole lot like us. They had cliques, they had food fads, they had favorite pastors, they had vices, there were social issues, people had special talents and giftings, there were varying worship styles. Does this sound familiar to anybody? In writing this letter, though, in the grand scheme, Paul is exposing some really, really yucky stuff. There are divisions within the church. There's sexual immorality in the church. There's marital issues. There's legalism happening. There's idolatry. Some really heavy stuff. Paul, a father of this church, is urging these people to reorient, to remember who they are, to sift through the chaff, and to mend the tares of this church. The Corinthian people got into this trouble because they lost sight of their true identity and got caught up in external things. And the thing that was so insidious about this church was that many of these issues have the veneer of godliness. Like, what teacher do you follow? Today it might be, well, I only listen to this pastor, these podcasts. Do you eat food from idols or not? Do you speak in more tongues than he does? So in this letter, Paul is going to jump in and deal with all this hard stuff, but not before he reminds them of who they are, to remind them of their identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. So our roadmap today is going to look like looking at the past, the present, and the future of our identity with Christ. God's call is at the beginning of our lives with Christ. And then God is equipping you and me today in the now to live for him. And then Paul is setting up this beautiful picture of Christ's final return in the day of the Lord. So that's kind of where we're going today. The text is going to be on the screen if you'd like to follow along. If not, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all of those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we know that we don't have the answers. But Lord, sometimes we get on a track where we think we do, and sometimes we get on a track where we're confused, where we're floundering, where we're wondering what it is you have for us, what we are to do now. Lord, we can lose sight of who we are. And Lord, I pray that today through your scriptures that we would be reminded of who we are, that you have saved us, that you have named us, that you have called us, that you have set us apart for your glory. Let that have a profound impact in our hearts today and open our eyes up to learn. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So Paul begins this letter with an encouragement. And as I mentioned earlier, He's getting to some really tough stuff later, so I think this is really, really, really important that he starts this way. The first statement we read here is Paul called by the will of God. Now, it doesn't say Paul called because he wanted to be called, or Paul called because God had to call him. No, Paul was called because God himself willed it. Let that sink in for a minute. I think that's just super profound that God himself calls us. And this shows so much character of our God, doesn't it? That he loves us enough, broken, sinful people, that he loves us enough that he himself would call us. An example of this just nature of God calling us can be seen in Paul, the guy who's writing this letter, the Apostle Paul. For those of you who may not know who Paul is, he was a very prominent Jewish leader of the day and had a position of authority and influence. And Christianity was this new movement and it was growing. And he was not okay with this. This guy was, he was actively hunting down and killing Christians and trying to end this movement called Christianity. Paul's identity and purpose was in the religious order of the church, of the Jewish church. And he was persecuting this new movement called Christianity. But God gives him a new beginning. God changes his life, his identity, his direction, his goals, and his focus. God, with a loud voice, calls Paul. And he changes him. He blinds him and brings him into the city where he meets with a servant of the Lord that prays over Paul and helps Paul understand what all just happened. And when the blindness left his eyes, they fell like scales and they were now open to a new reality. The old Paul was gone. He even changed his name from Saul to Paul. It's important to remember the beginning of our call, church, because it sets the stage for our lives. It gives us correct focus. Like God called Paul and gave him a new beginning, he is calling us, he's actively calling us, people to himself, so that we might have new beginnings as well. And just like Paul, he does it, on his own terms and for his glory. He wills to call us. 1 Peter 2 says that those who are believers in Christ are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Paul's beginning was Christ. Before he was an apostle for the church, before he had any sort of title, he was called by God, and we are too. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle, his identity comes from God initially, not his title. And if we understand this, when we talk about our own call, we won't just say, Matt, called to be a teacher, or Ashley, called to be a donut truck owner, or John, called to be a geologist. But that we could say, Jessamyn, called by God, and as a mother, I will glorify him through my motherhood. Or Brian, called by God to be, Brian, called by God, and as a Navy chief, I will glorify his name through my position in the United States Navy. Or Josh, called by God, and I'll manage New York's power grid for the glory of his name. Do you see? We don't want to be so quick to move on to what we are called to do, but we want to really camp out in this idea, in this knowledge, in this truth that we are called by God first. Now that we understand the beginning of our call and God establishing our identity in him from day one, in this opening, Paul is also encouraging the church and presently reminding them of what they have here and now for today. In being called by God, they are equipped for after that call. God doesn't just call us and then leave us out in a lurch to be isolated. It sure seems like that sometimes, doesn't it, in our Christian walk? Sometimes we feel isolated. Sometimes we feel alone. But verse 2 says, we are called to be saints together with all of those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord. Saints together. Now let's deal with the word saint really quickly, because sometimes this can be miscontrived in our current vernacular. The word saints here means that people who are sanctified or made right and holy, set apart for God. Being a saint doesn't mean you have to perform miracles or put on a football helmet and play with Drew Brees or be a Christian for 100 years. No. At the time God calls us, we're made saints. We're made holy. We're sanctified. We're justified. We're forgiven. So at the beginning for all of us, church, is not vocation right away. It's sainthood. We are set apart for his glory. And not to be isolated. Paul is encouraging the church here. How do we live here now? How do we live out this calling now? It happens in the church. This ragtag group of nobodies who God has called to glorify him. In the Greek, the word church, the word ekklesia, which is used here, is the name for the church. And what its literal translation is, a called out assembly or congregation. We are unified in our many parts because we all belong to the body of Christ. In chapter 12, Paul's going to talk about this, about the varying gifts and talents of his church, that all of those things are important. The visible ones, the invisible ones, the prominent ones, the inappropriate ones to be seen. All of these parts are important, and they're integral, and they're supposed to be used for the building up of the church and each other. And Paul, in his writing here, he's generic, but he's also specific. He says that you will be blessed with any gift, all the gifts that we have here. But also he's specific to knowledge and speech. Another passage that drives home this knowledge and speech component is also from 2 Peter. I'm going to talk about 2 Peter a lot today. Seems like those two passages really mirror each other in a lot of ways. But 2 Peter, he says this, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So giftings within the church are a primary way that God sustains us alongside other believers within the church here, now, today. So whether you were called 50 years ago or whether you were called last April, we all have gifts through him. A God who saved us and forgave us of our sins, a God who has given us a place to live and grow called the church, and gifts to glorify him and build up the church. This is how God gives us strength to live out each day. God's calling is not always easy. It certainly wasn't for Paul. Losing ourselves, our old selves, to find a new identity twists and bends our hearts. So in writing these words, Paul is giving hope. He's giving strength. He's reorienting. He's giving purpose, helping the people understand purpose. Purpose to do what we're good at, to do the things we're passionate about, to do the things that we're suited for. I hope that you're understanding, friends, that as a Christ follower, what we do is a beautiful expression of our internal identity. The things that we do are not an identity in and of themselves. The world tries to tie our contentment and our security in the job that we have, in our bank accounts, in the right car that we drive, or like paper towels, the beverages you drink, the floor cleaner you use. All of these ads and all of this media are helping us, are trying to make us say, oh man, if I only had that, I would be content. Or if I only lived here, I would be content. Or if I only made this much money, I would be content. Or if the Bills would win a Super Bowl, I would be content. There's a little bit there, just maybe a little bit there. But when we understand our identity to be that God has called us, we can find contentment in this. Ask the Lord for that. Ask him to show you who he is and what your identity is in him. Then that will breed contentment. And contentment breeds a life of stepping out in faith. If we know who we are, if we are content in who we are through Christ, we can do big things for the gospel. We can step out in faith. I went through a period of my life that this was really hard for me. So the last 2.5 years or so, for some of you that know us better than others, you've journeyed through this with us, and man, we appreciate that because there were some good, hard, and helpful truths to hear during that period. But we were, as a family, really feeling God's call, and well, I should be careful to use that word, but really feel God moving us to somewhere we didn't really understand what. But we knew that we loved the church, and we knew that what we wanted to do was serve this church and these people. But what I realized during this time was I was not satisfied, I was not content with God's timing. I became really dissatisfied with my job at Shenandoah, and I wanted something different. What I wanted was good, okay, but my heart wasn't. About a year ago, there was this possible position in full-time ministry that I really, really, really wanted. And I kind of stacked everything up against that, and I pushed into that, and I was ultimately told not yet. Initially, this shook my world, and my discontentment kind of hit 100. But the Lord was working. He kind of had to crash me down for me to understand my identity is in him, and my contentment is in him. So I started to think, well, if not this, then what? And he reminded me of the things that he has put in front of me already, the ways in which he's called me to serve, the way in which that my relationship with my wife is effective in ministering and blessing and counseling and helping other people. And we just said, we're not going to worry about this next step, and we're going to focus on who the Lord is. So that when this current opportunity presented itself, it was a no-brainer, because it wasn't something I was climbing a ladder to achieve, but the Lord allowed this to line up with us understanding our contentment and our joy in him. So please don't hear me as like, wow, Matt, you really have it all figured out, because I don't. And most days there's doubt, unbelief, and anxiety. But using this illustration, I want you to see how if we act out of our discontentment, we're not going to go very far. But if we center ourselves in who the Lord has made us to be, and that he has called us to be his children, and he has called us to be his church, then when we have an opportunity to step out in faith, we're going to be able to do that. If you feel like your life today is taking a turn, or if you feel like your life today is kind of boring, ask the Lord to remind you who you are. Then we're free. We can glorify him in working a 9-to-5 job in upstate New York. Or we can take a leap of faith and be the next Steve Jobs. But first, as Christians, let us remember who we are in Christ. Let us gain our identity and our contentment from him. But life gets complicated, doesn't it? We live in this sinful place that muddies so many waters when we realize that, man, there's so many facets to this life, and this is difficult. This text was written to the Corinthians because they were also confused. It was written for them, but it's also written for us. 2,000 years ago, the same things that were happening. And the conclusion is the same, that we need to find our contentment and our identity in Christ. So where are we going? We all know this life is temporary. I mean, God is gracious to give us this place in the church to live and meaning in the gifts that he provides us, but we know that we're heading somewhere. Paul says here in verse 8, he says, "He who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." The day of the Lord. What does this mean? The day of the Lord is the day that God completes his plan of restoration and redemption for the world. It's coming. And Paul knows this. And so he's, again, encouraging and reorienting the church to remind them that this day is coming, that this life is not all that we have. And God is sustaining us to that day. If we trust in him, we will be ready because we will be guiltless, sinless, and sanctified. So here and now, we can live a life that's full and deep and Christ-centered, but know that our bodies are finite, that we are temporary, and that because God has called us and saved us, we get to spend eternity with him. Amen? This should have a profound effect on our hearts. And I think that Paul is reminding the people of this to stir up in them. Church, you have eternity in front of you. God has saved you. He is carrying you through this time, but he is bringing you to a beautiful end of eternity with his son forever. Stirring up their hearts. If we really grasp this, and I forget so often, if we really grasp this, we won't be a people that take God's grace and just grow lazy and complacent. Paul wasn't reminding the people of these things to make them feel good. He's helping them remember who they are. And remember, that this letter is full of really hard words. And those really hard words could have really wrecked the people if they didn't understand who they were. Because God has called us, we can face really hard things. And because we have a future in heaven with our Savior, this current world and its problems, man, they pale in comparison. In Paul's next letter to the Corinthians, he'll pen this verse that some of you know, and it says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." We're living toward eternal glory with Christ. There is meaning in this life. If we understand this, then we won't be those that take God's grace for granted. We will grow. We will be discipled by others. Back to 2 Peter. I'm going to read a larger passage, 10 verses or so. So just listen to this, because this kind of really explains this end that we're going for and how we live toward that. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 5. "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way you will be richly provided into an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these things, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it is right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus made clear to me. Peter knew that he was finite and that he was heading towards eternity with Christ. And he's urging these people to remember who they are and to stir them up so that they can live for the now, that they can live for eternity, that they can understand their beginnings, and that they can be people that show this light, show this joy, show this contentment to a world who's looking for it in different ways. But let's remember, it's all God. It's all in his hands. If you've called on his name today, you are saved. It's done. It is by his goodwill that he accepts us through his grace. It's all about him. Going through those 9 verses, we can pull these things out. Called by God, the grace of God that was given to you, grace and peace from God, enriched in him, the Lord Jesus Christ will sustain you. God is faithful. All those things come from the text today. It's all about him. He is our beginning in calling us. He encourages us by lavishing upon gifts through his grace, by giving us a place to exercise those things in the church. And he sustains us to the day of his coming. He sustains us into eternity with him. Now, maybe hearing Paul's words of encouragement today and reminding you of this concept of identity causes you wonder or trouble in your heart, because you can't say that you know who you are today. Maybe you've never called on the Lord God to save you today, and maybe you're feeling today like, yes, I want that. Or you're feeling, why would God save me? I've done all these horrible things. Or I'm floundering. I just don't know what I'm going for. I don't know where to go. Or I thought that I had all this figured out, but maybe there is more. If you're hearing these things today, if your heart is stirring up in those ways, this is the Holy Spirit at work. He's already stirring up in you. He's already calling you. Call on him today. Confess your sin and your need of a Savior today. He wills that we come. He wants us to come. He wants to show you his grace. He wants to show you his faithfulness and his love. If you'd like somebody to pray with or talk through this stuff, I'll just kind of park myself in the back during communion, and I would love to talk to you more, to pray with you. So don't wait. Call on him today. So here's some final words for us today, and they're some questions. So if going into tribe this week or any fellowship with your brothers and sisters, these might be some things to ponder as we go through the week. If Paul were to write a letter to you today about your call, what would it say? Can you articulate and communicate your testimony of how God called you? Maybe that's happening now. Maybe that's happening today. Do you understand that, and can you articulate that? How is God sustaining you now, equipping you now? How has he gifted you to serve the church and to glorify his name? What's he doing in your life right now? And finally, how might we live differently today, knowing that God is faithfully sustaining us until his glorious return? Let's pray. Lord, refocus us, reorient our hearts. Lord, we confess that we become muddled with this life. We get caught up in sin. We get caught up in things that look really good but aren't. We get caught up in things that are just benign. Lord, we want to be a people that is humble to hear your word and to make it have a profound impact in our lives and then walk forward in this life. Thank you for the church. Thank you for this assembly of believers. Lord, we are encouraged by looking around the room and seeing other people who also have identities that are in Christ and that are moving towards you. Lord, what great encouragement. Thank you for this. But Lord, thank you that this is not all that there is, that there is an eternity of glory waiting for us. And our only prerequisite for that is to hear the call of the Lord in our lives and to call him. Lord, it's all you, it's all your grace. In your infinite wisdom and design and power, you've decided to call us. Lord, let that break us. Let that revelation allow us to respond in worship, which we will do now. And let us be a people that are focused and oriented in our identity that is in Christ Jesus, who has saved us and who loves us. Lord, we ask all these things in the only name that saves, Jesus Christ. Amen.